and praise.
Yes, he is.
Amen.
Yes, he is.
God is awesome.
Yes, he is.
I want to thank God for the director and for the musicians.
Yes.
Amen. We know the Lord is doing an awesome thing.
Yes, he is.
Here we're watching him build a praise crew and a whole set of folks that love to give him praise. All the audience and everybody loves to give him praise.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. We are thankful that he is willing and that he is able and above all that he is worthy of all praise. Amen.
Amen. Every praise is to our God. Amen. We have, as y'all know, those of you who have been sojourning with us over the past let's say from last week at least, that we started a new study.
Yes.
Especially for the holidays that are upon us, having just freshly left out of the Thanksgiving season. We are now entering into the Christmas season. And we learned that somebody said that they like to try to call it the holiday season, as we mentioned. But we know this is the Christmas season.
Amen. Christmas
season. So we want to talk about that just a little bit here today. Amen. Because they try to hijack everything that belongs to the true God.
It's all about Jesus.
And insert various hogwash.
It's all about Jesus.
You know, and this holiday has always been, ever since it was instituted, about Jesus. Amen. The Christmas celebration, the Mass of Christ, if you will, to celebrate Him. And we mentioned this, that we don't know exactly when he was born. We talk about that all the time, and it's really not relevant because he was born. We do know that.
Amen.
You know, so it's not really relevant when was he born per se, so much as it is that he was born. And it's a thing worthy of celebration because, as I mentioned, we are persons who love Christ and understand who he is. You will celebrate him at all times.
Yes.
Amen. I celebrate him every day, not to mention every Sunday and all the other times that are people set aside to celebrate or worship the Lord. And so I don't think it's a bad thing necessarily to celebrate him at any time.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
So if they pick a day and say this is the day we want to pick, well, that's a good one. I agree with you on that. I acquiesce that I would like to worship him on that day as well. So you can pick anyone you like, and that's all good with me.
Right.
Yes.
All the time.
Amen. Because any time is a good time to celebrate and worship the Lord. Amen.
Yes, it is.
So having said that, we're going to continue in a topical set of lessons that we started on last week. And we're going to move along today into another dimension of that. And we're going to have a reading, as we did on last week, from the Old and the New Testament. So I'm going to ask that the deacons would come. Okay, of course, we were in Isaiah on last week, and so we're going to continue in Isaiah and also in Matthew, as we did on last week. We're going to look at some of the other prophecies that pertain to this particular time of year and the reason why we celebrate and hold Christ in such high esteem. And so we're going to ask for a reading from the Old Testament, a few verses from the prophet Isaiah chapter number 9, verses 6 to 8, and also the New Testament of the Gospel of St. Matthew chapter 2, the first 11 verses. And we're going to ask you to give your attention as the deacons read the word of the Lord to the people of the Lord.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord sent a word into Jacob, and it had lighted upon Israel.
Amen, amen. The old covenant of the Lord to the people of God. May God bless the reading and hearing of his word and for the New Testament.
Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily or privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for a young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasure, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Amen, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy word. And we're going to use for a topic for our message today, Messiah, the righteous king. Messiah, the righteous king. Let us have a word of prayer. Eternal God, we bless and praise you today. Father, we exalt your name. We thank you for this word that we have heard many times in the past, Father. And so we ask today that by the power of your spirit that you allow us to see some new things, Father, that we have never seen before. And we pray that you bless every mind and every one under the sound of my voice, and even those who are hearing us remotely anywhere in the world, God, that they might have a new, fresh blessing from the message today and from the words that you have given us concerning your son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. We ask it in the righteous name of the majestic King, Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So as we approach another time of celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ, who was called the Christ, who we talked about that last week, the Messiah, the one who brings correction to everything that was damaged in the creation. When the creation was made by God, everything in it was perfect.
Yes.
And it was a sin that came in, was introduced to the human family. It brought about a number of deviations from that which was originally created by God, which was a complete paradise. And the Christ was prophesied, the one who would come and correct those problems and set the creation and mankind back right with God. And so that's what we mean when we talk about the term the Christ, Jesus, who is called the Christ. So during this holiday observed by the world all around, known as Christmas, we're going to indulge today in a second installment of a mini-series highlighting some of the beautiful facets of the facts of the season, which have been couched in the scriptures and are a delight to be reminded of at this time of year. So we want you to listen carefully today, and as we continue with this message called Messiah, the Righteous King. Now, the whole thing that we need to understand is that God always has provided a way that man could be set right, even since the fall, because the problem with sin is that it never caused God to change at all. See, that's the thing you have to always remember. God has always been the same.
Always.
He is the same yesterday, the Bible says, today and forever.
Amen.
The Bible says stuff like from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. In other words, there's nothing to change because God is perfect. He didn't have any situation or anything to cause him to have to be different just because man sinned.
Yes.
But when man sinned, everything in man's realm was affected by the sin.
Yes. Amen.
And so it caused God to move away and separate from the sin to some extent. And it would be Messiah who would come as he prophesied. And we looked at what Moses said last week, and that at the very onset of sin in Genesis 3:15, he told the serpent who had introduced sin to the woman and also to the man through the woman. He said, on your belly shalt you go, and dust shalt you eat all the days of your life. I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise you on the head, thou shalt bruise his heel, telling you that there will be a woman with a seed at some time in the future, and the seed would be a male child who would vanquish the devil. Mm-hmm. Simply put, and that's what Moses said. The sages of old time fought over these things, and they didn't really fully understand it. God gave revelation in bits and pieces throughout the years, but at all times he never changed.
Never.
But he was always showing man that there is a path. I do have a time coming in your history that I will make correction. And Amen. He spoke that all the way at the very beginning, at the onset of sin. He himself, having executed the first office of a priest,
yes,
when Adam and Eve sinned, they tried to cover themselves. Man has been trying to cover themselves all these years by some means. I got to cover myself. But God showed him right at the beginning that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. He showed him that the wages for sin is death. He covered them with the skins of a bloody animal, showing them that this animal died in your place. It's a substitutionary principle that I will allow something else to die for you, to cover for you.
Amen.
And so this began right there in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned.
Yes, it did.
And all it was a way of God communicating to Adam and Eve the gospel, the good news.
Amen.
I'm going to cover you. He could have wiped them out. He said the wages for sin is death.
Death.
Would have been easy to wipe them out when it was just two. Now there are billions on the earth. Somebody estimated there are about 6 billion people on the earth right now. Think about that, from 2 to 6 billion. You know, McDonald's always talking about billions served and billions served about their little burgers. You know, and so if there's billions served, there must be billions eating them.
All right.
That's the thing I always thought about. A whole lot of eaters eating all those burgers, and some people say, I don't even like McDonald's, so that group is not eating them. But in either case, somebody's eating those billions of burgers. And even as this was a little ridiculous, I know we don't have a lot of time, so I probably don't have time for much ridiculous, but I was talking about how this thing here, I just have to share this with you this morning. Somebody was telling me about Harlan Sanders, that's the founder of the KFC organization, and he was trying to work on how he could perfect his recipe. You know, that he tried old 5 spices and put them in there, cooked it, checked it, something's not quite right. He was trying to emulate a recipe that he had gotten from his grandmother, and so he said, let's try some more stuff. Threw a few more things in there, about 9 things, cooked it up, checked it, still not quite right. So eventually he kept doing that, and he got around to 11 herbs and spices, and he put them all in, and that's it. That's just like what my grandmother used to cook. And so he perfected the 11 herbs and spices that we know today as KFC. And so somebody said, the moral of the story is, if at first you don't succeed, fry and fry again. That's a bad joke. Anyway, let me leave that one alone. Anyway, that's terrible. In any case, I just want to lighten y'all mood just a little bit here this morning. Like, man,
I got it.
That was awful. Anyway, so let's move along here. I want you to see that there's some things in the Word. People overlook some of these things throughout the years, and so they didn't really fully understand. When God gave the Bible, he gave it in segments.
Yes.
Little portions. The first part of it, 5 books he gave to Moses.
Right.
And those books took a period of 40 years for Moses to receive them from God.
Yeah.
From the age of 80 until he died at the age of 120.
Yes.
By the time he was ready to die, 5 books had been completed. That was the entirety of Scripture.
Wow.
See?
Yes.
And Moses died in the wilderness, didn't even cross over into the promised land. And so Joshua continued to lead the people, and then of course we know how that went. But there was always adding on to how the Messiah would be.
Amen.
This one who would come and correct the sin of the world. I think Eve thought when she first had male children that one of them could be the Christ. Because she heard what God said to the serpent. It says she gave birth to Cain and Abel. Remember that?
Yep.
And she said, oh, I got a man from the Lord. So she might be thinking, this is the one. Nobody thought it would be that many years before the Christ would be born.
That's right.
See? And so a lot of thought went into it. All the prophets, by the time we get to Isaiah, we're up to about 800 or some years before Christ was born. And we looked at one last week from chapter 7 where it said that the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall call his name Emmanuel. And which means God with us, Matthew said in Matthew 1:23 on last week. This is a little review.
Yes.
And so now we look here again and we see more from the prophet Isaiah in chapter 9. He says here in chapter 9 in the 6th verse, for unto us a child is born. Still talking about this same one Moses introduced. Unto us a son is given. Now it tells you the gender of the child. Now notice this, it says, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Telling you characteristics that this child would be, not only would he be a man or child, man child, but he'll also be God.
Right. Yeah.
He is the Prince of Peace, the son of a king, if you will. And so that's what it means there when you see that word Prince of Peace.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says here, and then moving on, it says, and on the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Yes.
Now that's very interesting. In other words, God says you can count on this, because I promised David, who has now been dead for a long time, by the time we get to Isaiah's writing, that he would have a son who sits upon his throne that will reign in Jerusalem forever and ever.
Right.
Now David has been gone and Isaiah is writing about him after the fact.
Yeah.
And this is part of the promise. Now notice here at verse 8, I had to include this one more verse. The Lord sent a word into Jacob. Now you're going all the way back to the patriarchal period, and it had lighted up on Israel. The word of God has now been manifested through Israel. Now keep in mind, Jacob was his earthly name according to the flesh. But God, after he wrestled with God in Genesis 28, has changed his name to Israel. See that? So in other words, we can see here what Nicodemus said, that what Jesus told Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So God had a way of naming people more than one thing throughout the scripture. That's why when we see all these names of Messiah, he is called the Wonderful, the Counselor,
yes,
the Mighty God.
Amen.
That lets you know about his deity. The Everlasting Father, that's his deity. The Prince of Peace, that's part of his humanity, that he would be born the Son. And then it says, and of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. See that? So there's an eternal kingdom coming up from Messiah. That's what he came to be known as in the Old Covenant. So I want you to understand that at the first advent, which is what we were talking about last week, and we said that just means the first coming, the time when Christ showed up on the scene the first time, which is the most important event that has happened in history up to this point. There's been nothing else more important than Jesus being born.
Yes.
That's why Christmas is a beautiful thing.
Yes.
To celebrate the birth of the most important one
Milo.
Has ever been born.
Yes.
How do we know that? Because God wrapped the world around him.
Amen.
It's 2015, 2015
Amen.
Years since the most important person that's ever been born was born.
Yes. Yes.
That's an undeniable
Amen.
Fact.
Right.
It's not a myth. It's not any kind of a folklore.
Yes.
Because your calendar says that Christ was born. So we know that's the most important event and the most important person in all of time. And so at the first advent, there were many misunderstandings about just who Messiah was and what he was to do and how all the pieces were supposed to fit together from all these prophecies that had been given before his birth. Just as there are still many today in the same boat, people who don't fully understand about Christ, even though God has wrapped the world around him.
Amen.
Very interesting thing. Also, not knowing these same things, they are making it necessary for the ones who are understanding the first advent of Christ, like us, to give a correct biblical account of the facts surrounding the most important event in human history thus far, and how to best benefit from it unto salvation. That's what you and I get to do. We get to explain that first advent. that Christ came to be crucified on the cross, buried in the grave. He got up out of the grave to defeat death, which is the penalty for sin.
Yes.
Which is what God said, the wages for sin is death. So that's what we see the first time Jesus came. Is he came to show the world that I have the solution to the problem of death. You know what? No one else has done so well with that, have they? No one has. Who else has gotten out of the grave?
Nobody.
No one. No one else has gotten out of the grave unless Jesus called them out of the grave. And they only came out for a while to go back to the grave. He is the only one got out of the grave, and he remains seated at the right hand of God.
That's right.
And there would be no church had he have not gotten out of the grave.
That's right.
There's nothing to preach if you don't have a risen Christ. If there's a tomb somewhere and he's in there rotting, he can't help us. But the fact is, the reason the church exists is Christ, the Messiah, did exactly what God said he would do. He got up out of the grave with all power in his hand. And he declared, all power is given to me, Matthew 28:18, in heaven and earth. Then he said to his disciples, go ye therefore in all the world and teach all the nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. See, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So he's still here, and you and I have the privilege of proclaiming what the first advent meant. See, that's so important because so many people are confused and twisted up about it. So there are two stages of messianic operation we want to talk about today. This is a little deep, but hopefully we'll get it and it won't take that long. They are clearly revealed by Isaiah, the prophet, in this very text, very clearly, and have been known and read by thousands over the years. Yet even the second advent, which is also concealed in the Old Testament scriptures, shall top the first advent. When Christ comes the next time, right now his first coming is the most important thing. When he comes the next time, whoo! That's going to be dynamic. He came the first time as a lamb. The next time he comes as the lion of the tribe of Judah. See, he came to administer peace to the world and give people a chance at amnesty, if you will. In other words, God will overlook your sin if you trust in me. He will forgive you of every unrighteous thing. He is able to heal you. He is able to clear your mind, give you peace. He can do all that. And God has given a period of amnesty that has lasted now for approximately 2,000 years. See, and you and I get to proclaim that to the world. That's why I was saying this morning, I'm not all that excited about what's going on down in the city hall, what's going on up in the White House or up in Jeff City. I'm excited about Christ, the Messiah. He is the one, the Savior of the world, the righteous King who is coming to rule and to reign. Let's take a brief look at the text. I want you to see this and then we'll move along. Hopefully we can wrap this up. Notice what he says, verse 6, one more time. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now in that one set of that one part of that verse, he started out being born a child. That's a baby. That's the Christmas scene. When it says a son is given, that's the cross. He was at the cross 30 years later, 33 and a half years being crucified. A son was given. Not that he wasn't given when he was born, he was, but he was given for the satisfaction of our sin at the end of his life. So you can see 33 and a half years in just that first verse. Now it skips all the way to the second advent, and the government shall be up on his shoulder. That hasn't happened yet. Wow. You mean in one verse of Isaiah, we went from his birth to his crucifixion to the future time, the second advent, and the government will be up on his shoulder. That's why Peter then was saying, Lord, isn't it at this time that you'll restore the kingdom to Israel? Because they knew he was the son that was born. They knew he was the Christ that was given, the son that was given. He was the child that was born. He was the son that was given. They said the government, that's the next thing Isaiah said. Lord, isn't it at this time, Acts 1:7, that you shall restore the kingdom to Israel? They thought, oh, it's got to be the next thing. It's right here in the verse. It says so. You know, but it's been 2,000 years. Jesus didn't come to rule and reign. You know what he told them? He says, not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has put into his own power.
Amen.
But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You have a global mission that you got to go on telling this gospel. Making disciples of all the nations. We're still doing it. The people in this room are the result of that mission that they started off on back then when they were asking, Lord, is it at this time that you restore the kingdom? They looked at this verse that says, the government's going to be on your shoulders. Jesus said, no, it's not for you to know the times nor the seasons which the Father has put into his own power. Notice what it says, and his name shall be called Wonderful. We call him Wonderful right now, don't we? Is Jesus Wonderful? Counselor. The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. Now, he's a prince because he is the son of the great king.
Yes.
And I always like to ask people, when does the prince get to be the king?
When it comes to
and when the king dies, the prince gets to be the king.
Yeah.
So now, suppose the Father has allowed this death, Jesus did die. And he got up out of the grave. So now that's a new life, right? So now the prince becomes the king. Because he supplied the death necessary to move on to the next phase, as it says here in Isaiah's prophecy. Now notice it says, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Okay, so that's an everlasting kingdom, which is yet in the future.
Oh,
yes. He says here, notice, and upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth and even forever. And God puts his seal on this. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Just like I told Jacob all the way back at the time of Jacob, and the prophecy is lighted up on Israel. So Matthew tells us that when the fullness of time was come, of course, Paul says, God sent forth his son made of a woman. Matthew says, now when Jesus was born, that's the child that was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king. Herod was not a son of David. Did you know that? He usurped the throne. He was an Edomite. He had no place in the line of David that he should have been sitting on the throne in Jerusalem. And so it says, it was in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men. And we always talk about the three wise men. And they only say it's three because of the three gifts. We don't know. There were probably hundreds of them.
That's right.
You know, we always say the three wise men because of the three gifts, as it says here, for gold, frankincense, and myrrh, or there must have been three. Well, that's not a good conclusion. Legend has it that hundreds of men came mounted on white steeds coming out of the east to say, where is that one who was born, the king of the Jews? That's why Herod and all Jerusalem was troubled, as it says here. Says, saying, where is he that's born the king of the Jews? But we have seen a star in the east, and we have come to worship him. Oh, that infuriated that false king. And all of Jerusalem was infuriated, because when Herod was in power, it was a time of great blessing and economic development and everything. Jerusalem was doing well under the pagan king's rule. See? And so they were troubled. Why? Because they had forgotten the scriptures. They got their mind off the word. Or we're just happy with prosperity. And what do you mean coming here talking about there's somebody, a king we should worship? You know, sometimes we let prosperity blind us.
Yes, we do.
We better keep our eye on the king. Because he is coming.
Yes, he is.
He promised, I will be back. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And so all Jerusalem was troubled with him. See that, as it says in verse 3. And so he gathered together all the chief priests and the scribes, got all the religious people, the Jews, of the people, and together demanded of them where the Messiah should be born, the Christ. And they said, well, it says in our scriptures in Bethlehem of Judea, sir. I'm adding in a little over here. For thus it is written by the prophet Micah, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, chapter 5, verse 2. Art thou not least among, or not least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people, Israel. See that? That's that word that went through Jacob and lighted up on Israel, as it says there. from verse 8 of Isaiah. And then it says, then Herod, now he's the false king, when he had privately called the wise men, he said, oh, get those wise men, come in here, and he talked with them right away. He inquired of them diligently, by what time did that star appear? But none of them even seen it. They weren't looking for him. They were content with their little petty prosperity.
Yes, they were.
And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also, with his teeth gritted, with this sword, I'm gonna pierce it right through him. And we know that's what he was gonna do, because he sent out an edict to destroy all the children 2 years old and younger. Make sure we get him. You saw the star win, okay, go back 2 years, make sure we get rid of him. That's what he felt. And they went out spearing right through young babies, anybody 2 years old and younger. Terrible thing. And we talk about that another time, but that was awful, to show you how he thought he could control the situation and outthink God. But God, of course, outsmarted him in this case in real time. Notice what it says. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, it took them a while to get to Bethlehem. They saw the young child. Now, he's not a baby now. He's a young child with his mother Mary. And they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasuries, they presented him to him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. See, that's why we say three wise men. But, of course, that's ridiculous. There were probably hundreds.
Yes.
And these were basically Persian kingmakers who came to make him a king, because they probably learned about him when Daniel had been in captivity.
Yes.
Over their years before. Now, we don't have a lot of time today, so we're going to cut to the chase. So just as the wise men saw Jesus at his first advent and received direct spiritual guidance to lead them to the proper action and favor from God, it behooves all of us to meditate today on what the Holy Scriptures are saying, and with faith and trust in Messiah, the righteous King, who will lead and guide us during these troubling times, as well as we approach the time of the final advent. When he comes the next time, the Bible says he's coming on the clouds with power and great glory.
Yes, he is.
And every eye will see him.
Every eye.
It won't be some isolated event in Jerusalem. This will be a cataclysmic global event.
Everybody,
when Jesus comes.
Yes.
In order to be ready, the Bible says, put your trust in him.
Yes.
Believe in him with all your heart, and believe that God has raised him from the dead.
Yes.
And you shall be saved.
Yeah.
So that's what we preach. We have a very basic message. We trust that you have trusted in Christ. If you haven't, do it today.
Yes.
It'll be the best thing you ever did. That is what you need to do to be prepared for the second time when he comes.
My Lord.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. The Philippian jailer asked, gentlemen, what must I do to be saved? He fell down at the feet of the Apostle Paul and Silas as they were sitting there freed from the stocks they had been locked in the book of Acts chapter 16. And they were in Philippi. And he saw that God had opened up the prison and let them out. And he said, well, what must I do? He said, don't kill yourself, because he was about to throw himself up on his sword. But he said, well, if these prisoners get away, I'm toast. I'd rather just kill myself than go through what they're going to put me through.
Yep.
You know, Paul said, don't do that. Stop that. Don't kill yourself. That's what I'm saying to you tonight. Don't kill yourself.
Yes.
You know, you kill yourself when you refuse to trust Christ as your Savior. You know, if you want to be saved, trust Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the King.
Oh, yes, he is.
He loves you. He has done everything necessary to make you right. And we hope that you believe him. So if you're here today, I'm going to ask everyone to stand right where you are. And if you're here today and you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, do it right now. This will be the best thing you ever did. Amen. And we hope that if you trust him today, we would like to continue the work of teaching you. That's what Jesus said. He said to go in all the world and teach all the nations. So you need to learn these things just so you can have the confidence that God wants you to have. Let us pray. Everlasting God, we praise you. We bless you. We've heard that good news about the Christmas celebration that that we're celebrating now on earth. We celebrate him all the time. We have Christmas over here every time we get together.
Yes, Lord.
And so, Father, there may be somebody here today who needs to know for sure in their heart that they are saved.
Yes.
And so, Father, we pray for them and with them right now that you have provided the way. All they have to do is extend an empty hand and say, Lord, I need you and I want you to save me. And so whoever they are, you said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open unto me, I will come in and sup with him. So we pray that they will open the heart, the door to their heart now, that you might come in. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Fill them with the certainty and the assurance of salvation, that they can know that they have been born again.
Yes, Lord.
Father, and we just thank you for who you gave to us, Father, your only
thank
Son.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus, for being willing to take the abuse and the scandal and the shame that was associated with the salvation that you knew that you wanted to provide for all who trust in you.
Yes.
And so we ask you to bless them today, God, right where they are.
Bless them.
Bless them, oh God. Fill them with your precious Spirit. Let them know now that they are saved and that the Messiah, the King, when he comes, that we can worship him all together in spirit and in truth. Bless their home, their family, oh God. Help them to grow spiritually, physically, financially, emotionally, every way that they need to be blessed.
Yes.
And we give you all the praise and the honor and the glory. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the risen Savior. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If there's anyone here, you may be seated, that would like to join as a member of St. Timothy, we give you that opportunity also. At this time, we have space for you. We are here to baptize you if you need to be baptized. Amen. And we want to ask you to come at this time and just step forward if you'd like to become a member of St. Timothy MB Church, or if you'd like to share what God is doing for you in your life, or what he has just done for you in salvation, we give you the opportunity at this time. Amen. Amen. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. God has spoken. Let the church say amen.